Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nido Daf Nun Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Nun Hei. We had learned in our Mishnah that there are a couple of substances that conduct tumah, communicate tumah, whether they are fresh, wet, or dry. One of them was the flesh of a corpse. The Mishnah hence said, Ubasar Hames. The Gemara, 4 lines from the top, Minolan, from where do we know that Basar Hames is Metama even Yovesh? We look in the outside margin to appreciate one of the features of the Shas Ozer, and we notice the Nose, a topic heading, which reads, Basar Hames, Afilu Yovesh Metama. The corpse flesh, even if it's dry, will be Metama. Ma dinom shel, what is the halacha regarding the following? Shinayim, teeth of a corpse, seor, hair, tzipor and fingernail, etzem, bone, or skin. So we continue in the Gemara with the question in mind, from where do we know that dry corpse flesh is metame, omere shlokish. You notice we've numbered him number one. We have 2 sources for this. Reish Lakish offers his opinion. Omar kro lechol tumasoi. The pasuk refers to all of the tuma. Lechol tumos haparshus mimenu. From this pasuk we learn all tuma that comes forth from the corpse, even dry flesh. Rabbi Yochanan Omar oy beetzem odom oy bekover. The pasuk in the context of corpse material says bone or a grave, that these are metametumas meis adam dumya de etzem. And in this pasuk we see the comparison to adam, the person, and bone. Ma etzem yovesh, just like a bone is dry, af kan yovesh, so to corpse flesh, if it's dry as well, it will be metame. Mai binayu, what is the difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? What practical difference between their explanations is there? Iko binayu de africh afruchi. If it is so dry, it becomes like powder, it's pulverized. That's extremely dry. According to Reish Lakish, it will still be metame because it comes under the heading of everything that comes forth from the mace, including pulverized flesh material, powdered dry flesh material. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is a situation that goes even beyond bone, and hence it won't communicate tumah. Mesvei, the Gemara raises a question. Besar hames shehufrach tor. Here you notice the word hufrach, similar to the word africh we saw the line just before. This source seems to say that if it is dry to the extent that it's pulverized, so it does not communicate tumah, and that's a problem for Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, hasam de'akmich v'havei afra. There, it's not just that it's extremely dry, but it's turned into something like kemach, like powder, like flour, and hence it becomes like dirt, and dirt is not metama. So we have, so far, we can say in this piece of Gemara that we've seen 3 levels of dryness. The dry level of Rabbi Yochanan, meaning like bone dry. Reish Lakish is speaking about something that's even drier than that, and then this source indicating something that's turned into like something of a flour material, which is in effect dirt, and that is not metame. Meisvei, we have another Tanaic source that raises a problem, and we'll see this is a problem for both opinions, that says, Kol shebemeis mitame, anything that is associated with the corpse communicates tuma, chutz min hashinayim, v'haseor, v'atziporen, with the exception of teeth, hair, and fingernails, ubishas chiburan, in when they are attached to the body, kol tomei, then everything is tomei. Now, we've dashed underlined shinayim, teeth, because teeth are like bone, as Rashi says, and yet this source says that it is tohor. So this would be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Here you have something that's bone equivalent, and yet it is tohor. Omar Rav Ado Bar Ahavo, Dumya de Etzem. You'll notice that we have a triangle here, because this attempt to parallel to bone will appear on two occasions. One here, and a few lines later, a second attempt. So we're trying to understand, then, when do we compare things to bone? What are the characteristics of a bone that the Pasuk says is metame tumas meis? And if we can understand what the particular characteristics of a bone are, we'll then understand that things that don't have bone characteristics will not be metame. So he says, dumio de etzem, similar to a bone, ma etzem shinivro imo, what is the nature of a bone? It's something that was created with a person. As a person is born, he has his bones. Af kol shenivro imo, so too, anything that is born with him, that comes with when the child is created, if it is with him, so it will be metame. So teeth, as everyone knows, they only emerge later. One doesn't really see them when the child is born. Hence, they are not like bone. The Gemara asks, "Vahiko servet ziporin shenivru imoyu torin." What about hair and fingernails that are with the child when he is born, and yet they are tohor, as the source said just a couple lines before? Elo Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo. This is the second version of Rav Ado, when focusing on bone, which sets a standard of that which is tamei. What other things? What are the characteristics then? So the Gemara says, Ma etzem shenivro imo v'ein gizoy machlif. Just like a bone is something that's created that with the child upon its birth, and it does not regenerate itself. Af kol shenivro imoy v'ein gizoy machlif. So too, anything else that's created with the child and does not regenerate, those kind of things will metama. What is excluded? Yotsu hashinayim shelovrimo, to the exclusion of teeth, which are not created with the child upon its birth. Yotsu seir v'tzporin, to the exclusion of hair and fingernails, she'af alpi shenivrimo, even though they are present when the child is born. Nevertheless, gizoi machlif, they regenerate. Hair regrows, fingernails regrow. So they too are not like bone, and hence they will not metama tumas meis if they are detached. The Gemara raises some questions on that which we have just said. You'll notice we have a diamond marking here, and further down the page, where we're going to give examples of things that are gizoi machlif. Hence, they are not like bones, and yet they are metame. And, well, that creates a problem for the standards that we are trying to set right now. So the Gemara asks, and this question lasts a couple of lines, Vare, or the gizoi machlif, skin is something that regenerates itself, and we're going to see, now, if it regenerates itself, so it's not like a bone, so if it's not like a bone, it should not be metama. Bone is metama, something that's not like a bone should not be metama, and yet we're going to see later that here's something that's not like a bone, namely the or, which is gizoi machlif, and yet it is metama. Vitnan, we have a Tanaic source. This source has relevance to Maseches Chulin, and it refers to an animal whose skin has been removed. It says, Hagluda, Rabbi Meir Machshir. Rabbi Meir says it's not a trefa, because this skinless animal can become better. Now, the fact that it can become better, it can be healed, that would indicate to us that it's gizoi machlif, that it regenerates itself. And the chachomim poslim, the chachomim say a gluda, a skinless animal, is a trefa and is hence not kosher. Now, there's a slight interruption here with the brackets, so we'll skip these brackets for a moment. And the Gemara goes on to say, utaninan, Elu she'oroseim kibasoran, the following we say that their skin is like their flesh, or ha'odam. flesh of a man, the skin of a man. So the or is compared to the bosar. Now, we know that basar hames is metama even when it's dry. In this source, the or is parallel to the bosar. If the or is parallel to the bosar, well then it means that the or will also be metama even when it's dry. We proved a moment before that the or is something that's gizoy machlif. So it's not like a bone, and yet if according to our equation where the or is parallel to the bosar, it still will be metama, even dry. Even when it's like a bone, so to speak, it is metama, even though it's different from a bone, insofar that it's gizoy machlif, that it does regenerate, as we saw from the case of the gluda. So that's our question. Let's go back over the bracketed section. We saw a machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim regarding the classification of a gluda as a trefa. So the Gemara points out, afilu rabbanon lo kopasli, even the rabbanon don't declare the gluda as unfit as far as kosher, as far as kashrus is concerned. Elo the adahochi v'hochi sholid bo avira, because until the skin regenerates itself, external environmental factors, the air literally, will have an influence on the animal, umesa, and it will die. It will die because of the external elements. Ula oilam gizoy machlif, but everyone will agree in principle that skin is something that's gizoy machlif. And we see in this source after the brackets that the or is like the bosar, and bosar hames is mitama even dry. So or is mitama even when it's dry, even when it's like in a bone state of dryness level, and yet it will be mitama. So what about our rule that we said before, that Rav Ado Bar Ava taught, that it has to be something that's ein gizoy machlif in order to be mitama? The Gemara answers, ha itmar Allah. Regarding Or Ha'odam, the following was said. Omar Ula, Devar Torah Or Odom Tohor. Really, Or Ha'odam is Torah on a Torah level. And right now we're interested in Torah level laws. Umay Taimo Omru Tame. Why in the source that said that the Or is like the flesh, why were they metame it? Well, it's a rabbinic enactment. Shemo yas odom oiros oviv v'imo shtiflin lamchamor. We're afraid that people, out of their sentiment to their deceased parents, they will skin the deceased body and make it into a type of blanket or saddle for one's donkey, so as to have the feeling that his parents continue to be. And of course, we don't want that to take place, so we declare even the dried out skin of a person to be tame. When midoraisa, it's not tame, and hence we can go back to the rule that we saw given by Rav Adam Arava, that something that's gizoy machlif is not going to be mitame. Certainly, when it's dry. You can see that we have a bracketed section in the Gemara. In effect, what's going to take place here is a very similar discussion to that which we just engaged in. However, things will be presented in an opposite direction. However, if we just skip the brackets momentarily, you'll see how another question, like we raised before with the or, is raised with regard to bosar, where the Gemara here says after the brackets, "Vamrei bosar de gizoy machlif etome," the flesh itself is of a person is something that regenerates, and yet the bosar is mitame even when it's dry. So what about the rule of Rav Ado that in order to communicate tumas meis when something is dry, it would have to be like a bone, which is ein gizoy machlif? So we will see later that the Gemara answers there, that you can see already, Omar Mor Baravashi, Bosar Nasim Mekoimet Sarlekes. When there is a flesh injury and there's a piece of flesh removed from the body, true, it regenerates itself, but it leaves a Sarlekes, a scar. so that it's not the same as it was before, and as a result of that, we can say, in a manner of speaking, Ein Gizoy Machlif. It's not a real regeneration, because when it grows back, it doesn't grow back the same way. It's never the same as before, hence it is like a bone, and hence we understand how Besar HaMeis is Metama even Yovesh. Now, we go back to the bracketed section, focusing on the issue of the skin. The Ika Diamri, and again, the first section of this of the brackets, and you should note we have a bracket length indicator. You can see the vertical dash dotted line that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating the length of the bracketed section. And on the right-hand side, you see a long question marking. So here the Gemara asks, the Ika Diamri, another version, which is squiggle underlined as we always do in Gemara markings to indicate an alternative Lashon, Hare, or the Ein Gizo Machlif. Here you have the skin presented as something that's Ein Gizo Machlif, as we pointed out, in contrast to the first Lashon, where Or was presented as something that's Gizoi Machlif. Here it presents the Or as something that's Ein Gizoi Machlif. It doesn't regenerate. Utnan v'chachomim poslim. Or we should say more accurately, the Girsa would be better if we read here Disnan, and that's indicated on the margin of the Gemara, that it's better to read it as Disnan, that the proof that it's Ein Gizo Machlif, doesn't regenerate itself, is from the fact that the Chachamim Poslin, in the case of the Gluda, they say it's a Trefah, it's something that you cannot, it doesn't, which implies it doesn't get better. If it doesn't get better, it indicates it doesn't regenerate itself. It's a finished animal, so to speak. Finished and finished off, it's going to die. Now, we know in that Tanaic source that was just quoted, as we saw above, there was a machloikis, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that a gluda is kosher. In other words, it's not a trefa. So, if it's not trefa, that would give you grounds for thinking that maybe it does regenerate itself, according to Rabbi Meir. So, the Gemara points out in the bracketed section that even Rabbi Meir doesn't view the skin as Gizoy Machlif. The Gemara here in the brackets says, Afilu Rabbi Meir lo komachshir ela de koru biser v'chaya. Even Rabbi Meir isn't machshir except for the fact of koru bisra. If we look at the Rashi on this, koru alo bisra, miskashe bisra v'natse ka'or, where the flesh itself becomes hard like the skin. In other words, it's not that the skin regenerates itself, but the exposed flesh becomes tough like skin, and that's what enables the animal to continue living. So as far as trefa is concerned, since it's something that will continue living, so it's not a trefa. But as far as gizoy machlif, no, it doesn't. It's not gizoy machlif. The skin itself doesn't regenerate. Ula oilom ein gizo machlif, and nevertheless, the skin, as we said, does not regenerate itself. So here we have an example of something that is the or, that is, that's Ein Gizo Machlif. In that sense, it's like a bone. The Orma Ula, the Var Torah, or Odom Tor. On a Torah level, or Odom is Tor. Well, before we said that if it's Ein Gizo Machlif, it's like an Etzem and would be Mitame. Here we have something like an Etzem and it's not Mitame. The Gemara answers, Ki itmar de Ula, Ula who said that Or Adam is Tor, that comment of Ula, Asefo itmar, it's going on the Sefo, on the latter part of the Tanaic source, which says, V'kulon she'ibdon oshilich ben kidei ibuda, tahorin, all kinds of skins that are, ibdon is tanned, that's the process of making turning skin into leather, or they were ibdon, or they were trampled upon enough time to, in effect, tan them. The trampling hardens it. So they are, the skins are tor, chutz me'or odom, with the exception of human skin, which would still be metame. We should point out that this is the Seifa. This Seifa, this latter part of the Tanaic source, is the Tanaic source that had mentioned that Elu Sheorosein Kibasarim, there are examples of things that their or is treated like their Bosar. So all those examples of things where the or is treated like the Bosar will become tohor if the or, the skin, goes through a tanning process, with the exception of or ha'odam, which will still be metame. The omar ula, devar torah, or odam, ki ibdoi tohor. Or odam, when it's tanned, will be tohor. Uma tam omru tome. So why is or odam, if it's tanned, is it nevertheless considered tome? Because of the fear that a person might make the skins of his parents into shtichim, into types of rugs, or something that he places in place of a saddle on the back of an animal. So as to prevent people from doing that, we declare that it will remain tome. But that's a rabbinic consideration. However, this declaration of Ula, that Dvar Torah, it's Torah, that's only if it's Ibdoi, only if it's been tanned. However, if it has not been tanned, then it will, in effect, on a Torah level, be Mitame, just like a bone. And that is because, as far as this Lashon is concerned, is because the Or is Ein Gizo Machlif, it doesn't regenerate itself. And as such, it's like a bone. And any comment that indicates the or is tohor, you will find that in the context of or that has been tanned. And in that context, so the human flesh that's been tanned on a rabbinic level will be mitama. However, if it hasn't gone through the tanning process, it's in fact like the bone, and everything is fine. In other words, there's no kasha anymore on the standards that Rav Adavar Ava taught above. The Gemara asks, as we saw before, Vare Bosor de Gizli Machlif Vitome. We know that flesh is something that is metama, even dry, and even though it is Gizli Machlif, so it's not like a bone, so why should it be metama? Omar Mor Bravashi Bosor Nase Mekoimet Salekes. The Bosor really is not an example of Gizli Machlif. There is a scar left when Bosor is removed. And as a result of that, it's not like it is not classified as gizoy machlif in the fullest sense. There's a Rashi that adds to this, nase mekoimet salekes kloma roshim nireboi. There's a sign left when the skin regenerates, haritz oguma, a notch or a depression, the ein kulo choser, and it doesn't all come back. So in that sense, Bosor is not like Avol Seir V'Tziporen, hair and fingernail and nails, Ein Netilos Anikur, when hair is removed and it regenerates itself, you can't tell that something had been removed. Avol HaZov. Zov is a fluid that comes from a man, a male, and would make him into a Zav. However, zov material is metama only when it's wet, not when it's dried out. The topic on the side of our Gemara that we have listed is under the Nosei heading, zov metama odom ubegodov bimago v'maso. The zov will be metama a person and the clothing he is wearing when he either touches it or carries it. Zov minolon. From where do we know concerning the zov? From where do we know that it is metame, even that's metame when it's fresh? The pasuk says, "Tesanya zovo tome limed al hazov shehu tome." This teaches us that the fluid is also tome. In other words, not only the person from which it emanates, but the fluid itself is metame. Valo dinhu. Do I really need a pasuk? Couldn't logic have led me to that conclusion? La'acherim gorim tuma, the zov causes the person from which it emanates to become tome. Li'atzmo lo kol shekein, don't you think that the substance itself would certainly be tome? The Gemara says no. From logic, I wouldn't come to that conclusion. Soyer hamishtaleach yochiach, the goat sent out on Yom Kippur to be pushed off a cliff and atone for the sins of Israel will prove to the contrary. Shegorim tumalachirim, the person who carries out the Soyer HaMishtaleach becomes Tomei. For who atzmo tor, but the animal itself is tor. af ato al tatame al zeh, so too don't be amazed regarding this, the zov, shafa pishigorim tumalachir, even though it may, in fact, it does cause others to become tome hu atzmo tor. The substance itself may very well be tor. So if you want to conclude that it's tome, you'll have to have a source stronger than logic. Talmud lomar zoivoy tome. The pasuk says, thusly, we made al hazov shu tome. Teaches me about the zov, that the zov material, the liquid itself, is metame. You'll notice that we have a new marking, and that's a bow tie shape, where the Gemara offers alternatives to the drasha that has been stated in the source. So we'll be marking off these suggested alternatives using the bow tie shape around the word v'emo. So the Gemara asks, v'emo hani mi v'maga? Maybe the halacha that the zov is metama, that's only upon contact. Avol b'masa lo midi da'avi asheretz. But tuma through supporting it or carrying it will not take place, just like is the case with a sheretz, a dead sheretz, a dead crawling critter that the Torah declares is tame. There are eight examples of shrutzim that are metama, but they're metama only if you actually touch it. But if, let's say, you support it, you have a sheretz on a tray, and you are supporting the tray without direct contact with the sheretz, so we know there is tam. There is no tumah. So maybe the same should be said about the zov, and we know to the contrary. Omar Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, as far as a pasuk that teaches me about a contact tumah with the zov, there I don't need a special zov pasuk, because it won't be any weaker gora. It won't be any weaker than shichvazera. Shichvazera is semen, and we know about semen that it's mitama through maga. Ki itzrich kra lamasa. I need the pasuk. We had Zovo Tome in the Tanaic source, that Pusuk, and by the way, we're at the top of Omid Beis. So I need the Pusuk for Maso, for Tumas Maso, V'emo. Another alternative suggestion to what we know to be the case. Maybe, B'maso Metame Odom Ubegodim, B'mago Odom Metame Begodim Lo Letame Nididabe Amagod Nevela. Maybe, with regard to the Zov, we will say that if you're carrying the zov, so it's metama a person and the clothing he's wearing. However, if you touch the zov, so it will metama a person, but the clothing he's wearing will not become tame, just like is the case when someone touches a dead animal, a nevela. What is the nature of nevela? That if someone touches nevela, it won't metama the clothing that he is wearing as well. Just the person becomes tamei. And as we said before, we know that in the case of zov, contact with the zov will be metama the person and his clothing. So the Gemara says, lo sakadechtel, don't think to compare the zov to nevela. The sanya, the source says, achirim oimrim. The opinion of the achirim is, hazov es zoivoy la zohor vilane keva. Makish zoivoy loy, the zov materials compared to the person. Mahu lochilato be mago le masol le tame odom le tame begodim, af zovo kein. Just like the person himself, that's a zav. We make no distinction between if someone were to be supporting a zav or touching a zav. What happens? The person who touches or supports the zav becomes tame and his clothing as well. So too with regard to the zov material, whether he supports it or touches it, not only does he become tame, but the clothing he's wearing also become tame. The Gemara says, now the nafkalon mehazov es zovoi. Now that we have this pasuk hazov es zovo, which in effect teaches me all the halachas, in which we see that we compare the zov to the person himself, zovo tome lomali, what do I need the pasuk of zovo tome for? Now the Gemara will answer, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking. All of the lines form the answer that you see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. So Oma Rav Yehuda mi Diskarta, Rav Yehuda from the place of Diskarta says, Itzterich, I need the posuk of Zovo Tomei. And you'll notice that to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a long Hava Amina marking. That means that the next five lines of Gemara express what I would have thought without the Pasuk. Without Zovo Tameh, what would I have thought? Itzterich. Salka Deitech Amina. I would have thought Soyer HaMishtaleach Yochiach. The case of the Yom Kippur sent away goat will prove to the contrary. Shigorim Tumalachirim, it causes others to become Tomegu Atzmoy Tohor, and he himself is, the animal itself is Tohor. The E Mishum Hazov Ezovo, and if you think that, well, but what about Hazov Ezovo, the pasuk we most recently quoted, which indicates that the Zov material itself is Tomei? No, I tell you, I would have used that for something else. L'minyonahu d'asa. That's used to tell me numbers of emissions that cause the person to become tummy. But the substance itself isn't necessarily tummy. And how does the number thing work? Zoiv chad. In the pasuk it says hazoiv es zovo. So the word zov equals one chad, one sighting. Zovo equals tarti. That's two sightings. Ubishlishi, if he has a third sighting, akshe rachmono lanekeva, the Torah compares him to the female, which means he will then have to bring a sacrifice, which is the case of a female that has three ziva emissions. The pasuk, after all, said hazov ezovo lazochor velanekeva, so that after the second sighting, a third sighting, we would compare him to the female. So if you think you're going to put all your eggs in the Hazov Ezovo basket, you're mistaken, because Hazov Ezovo might be a purely number consideration. How do I know that the Zov material is itself a source of Tuma, that upon touching it, one would become Tomei? Therefore, Kosav Rachmona Zovoi Tomei. Therefore, I need Zovo Tomei to tell me that the substance itself is Metame, not just causing others to become Tomei. The hashto of Yom Rachmona Zoivoi Tome, who, now that we've said that we have this drusha Zove, that the Zov, now that the Torah declares that the Zov itself is Tome, Drosh Bei Nami Hai, we are able to darshan from this all, from it also this. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Vahashta Lativ Zovo Tome, the Nafgalon Mine Iker Tumas Zov. From Zovo Tomei, I learned the basic tuma of the Zov material, that fluid. Mehashto Drosh Mehazov Ezovo. Now I can turn back to the pasuk of Hazov Ezovo. Hach Drosh Delo Tachloik Bein Magoi Lamaso. Do not make a distinction between touching and carrying. V'afapi She'ato Drosh L'Drosh Achrina. Even though you use V'Hazov Ezovo for another drosha, namely the number drosha. So, as we look over this last piece of Gemara from the top of the page, we had a suggestion that maybe the Zov material will be Matama, a person, and his clothing only if he carries it. But if he touches it, it won't have the same effect. To that, the Gemara answered, you cannot make that distinction, because we don't make that distinction by the person himself, where one touches the Zav or one supports the Zav. The victim himself becomes Tomei, and the clothing he is wearing also become Tomei. And that point is learned from the Pasuk Hazov Ezoivoi Lazochor Nakeva. It is true that we use that Pasuk also for the issue of number of emissions that bring upon Tuma, but we know from the other Pasuk Zovo Tomei that the substance itself is a source of Tuma. Now that we know that the substance itself is a source of tuma from Zovo Tomei, Hazov es Zovo enables me to compare the material to the person, as we said. We go now to another liquid. The topic on the side, we have written, Roik Hazov Mitama B'magvu Masa. The saliva of a Zav is Mitama through contact and through support. Roik minolon, from where do we know that roik has this characteristic? Desanya v'chi yoruk. This posuk is a posuk in the context of the zav, and it says, and we have it actually on the side of our Gemara, we have this posuk quoted, and you can see V'chi yoruk hazov batahor v'chi bes begalav v'rochaz b'mayim v'tomei ano orev. So we have a pasuk that says when he spits, there is tumah. Yochalaf apishelo noga. Could it be that even if the spit didn't, where he didn't touch the spit, come into contact with the spit, that it would cause tumah? Tamud lomar batahor, meaning ad shiiga batahor, until it actually touches the person who otherwise would have been tahor. Engli elo roikoi. Well, this pasuk says yoruk, which is the saliva. Kichoi v'nioi umei ho'af sheloi minayin. What about these other substances, things like phlegm and nose, mucus, are also in the same category. Tamud lomar v'chi yoruk. The vav is darshan to include, in addition to the saliva, phlegm and mucus. Omar mar. So we have a quote from that which we just said. Yochol afal pi shelo noga. This was in the source we just read. Could it be that there would be tumah even if he doesn't touch? The Gemara asks, Mehecha tesi, where in the world would you have a havamina, a thought to think that there would be tumah generated or communicated even without contact? The Gemara answers, there is a basis for thinking that. Salkadei dechamino neilif roik roik mi yavoma. I might have thought to learn a gzera shava using the roik word to the yavoma. In the case of a Yavoma, this is a woman whose husband died leaving no children. In the event that the surviving brother-in-law does not want to marry her through the Yibum process, there is something called Chalitza. In the Chalitza process, there is the woman removes a shoe from the surviving brother, her husband's brother, and she also expectorates. She spits. Ma hosam, in the case of her spitting, afapi delo noga, she spits in the direction of the surviving brother, but she doesn't spit on him literally. It's just in his direction. So there, spitting there is the mitzvah of the spitting is fulfilled by a spitting without contact. Af hochanami, so too in the case of tumas roik, I would have thought the lo noga, that there is tumah created even without contact. Komash malon, hence we need the pasuk to say ba tahor, to tell me that there you need to have contact. And you can see that we have these bow tie markings, as we used before, to raise alternatives to that which we are saying. The emo hani mili b'mago. Maybe the spit is mitama only through contact. Avo b'maso loy midi dehavi asheretz, but through carrying it won't communicate tuma, just like in the case of asheretz, which is mitama through touch but not through carrying. Omar Reish Lakish, Tana debe Rabbi Shmuel. Reish Lakish introduces a Tanaic source which tells us otherwise. Omar kro ba tohor ma shebiyad tohor timesi loch. That means the word ba tohor indicates a person who is tor, let us say he is carrying something, it's in his hand, he's carrying something in his hand, and the zav comes along and spits, and the spit reaches that which the tor person is carrying. So it doesn't actually touch the person, the tor person, but he in effect ends up, you see him carrying the spit. And that's the case that the posuk is addressing. And hence, we see Tumas Masa through the Roik of the Zav. The Emo, once again, an alternative suggestion to what the Halacha really is, may be, B'masa mitama odom ubegodim, that when it comes to Masa, there is the Roik will mitama the person and the clothing he's wearing, B'maga, however, if a Torah person touches the Roik, Odom litame, begodom lo litame. The person becomes tame, but not the clothing he's wearing. Midi dahavi amago nevela, similar to the rule of mago nevela, where one touches a nevela, his clothing do not become tame. Omar Reish Lakish, v'chein tono debei Rabbi Shmuel. They cite the following Tanaic source to the contrary. Omar kro ba tahor, tahara shetiharti loch b'mokom acher, a case that would have been tor in another place. Timesi loch Kan. I have declared Tome here, here in the case of the spit of the Zav. The Ezezeh, what's the other place that we declared Tahara? Ze Mago Nevela. That's in the case of Mago Nevela, where we said the Tahara is with regard to the clothing, as opposed to the case of Mago Roik of the Zav, where there will be Tuma of the Begodim as well. The Gemara asks, the Emo, maybe the Mokom Acher that this source referred to is Kemaso Desheretz, that the other place that we declared Tahara is the case of Masa Sheretz. Tumas Sheretz does not communicate Tuma through Masa, but Roke of Azav will communicate Tuma through Maso. However, with regard to Maga of Zov, of the Roke of the Zov is concerned, that may, yes, be like Maga of Nevela. And we're back to square one, where we're going to suggest, like we did just before, that Maga of Roik of Azav will not metama the begodim, the clothing that he is wearing. In Cain, the Gemara says, well, if you want to say like that, Nichtoiv Kro Bo Odom, my Batahor, from the fact that the word Batahor was chosen and not Bo Odom, Shamas Mino Tarti, we learn both things from that. Let's take a look at Rashi. Dibor Masel Lemo Bo Odom, that if you want to say, like you suggested, that that the Mokum Achir of Tuma was Maso Sheretz, but that wouldn't shed any light on the issue of Mago of the Roik. So Ba'odom de Darshinon, as we darshined Bema Shebiyad Odom Vahainu Maso Ubalav Drosho de Taro Shetiharti Loch Nafkolon Maso. If the point of this drosha was to teach me an issue concerning Maso, so the source would have used the word Odom. My Batahor, so Rashi goes on, Demashma Taro Shi Tiharti Bemokum Achir, Tiharti Timesi Bekan. The word Batahor indicates some form of Tahara, that I would declare Tohor somewhere else, I'm Metame over here by the Roke of the Zav. Shamas Mino Tarti, Rashi explains, Maso, I learn the rule of Maso, that that the Roke will be Metame through Maso. Maso is Me Ribuye Debez, the word Batohor, as we saw before, that when the Zav spits toward the Tor, the spit hits that which the Tor is carrying. Hence, the Tor ends up in effect carrying the Zov material. Umaga letame begodim, and that phenomenon of Tumas Maga to metama the clothing the Tor person is wearing when he touches the Zov is learned from the word Tohor, from the word Tohor itself, from the basic words. You have the word, the base, to tell me about Tumas Maso, and the basic word Tohor to tell me the din of Tumas Mago, also Lutame Begodim. Umei Ho'af. You'll notice we have a star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star higher up on the page. You'll see the Tanaic source was dealing with the nose mucus of a Zav. From where do we know that it is a source of Tuma? That it's Metame. The Gemara asks, "My Mei Ho'af? What is that? What is meant by the nose mucus?" Omar Rav, Benigrorin Derech HaPeh. It's that nose mucus that one draws into his body and then emits through his mouth. The Meho'af being a source of Tuma is not by virtue of its own characteristic, its own nature, but by virtue of the fact that it has saliva mixed in. And as we know before, saliva of Azav is Mitama from, we know that from the Pusuk itself, from the word V'chi Yoruk. So the case of mehoaf as a source of tumah is only that which is has mixed in it droplets of saliva. Even the mucus that comes directly from the nose of the zav, that too is a source of tumah. Alma kosovar ma'ayon hu v'rachmona ravye. Rav Yochanan then shows us that he is of the opinion that the nose mucus is a ma'ayon, it's a source of liquids that are tamei, and the Torah includes it as well as a substance that will metame. The Gemara asks, the Rav, who placed an emphasis on the fact that the nose mucus comes through the mouth, and that's why it's mitame, so in the source above, why isn't the following mention? Now this question takes a number of lines to develop, hence we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So the Gemara asks, V'Rav nachshev nami dimas eino, why doesn't Rav include tears of a zav as being a source of tumah? The Omar Rav, we are going to see in this discussion that according to Rav there is a phenomenon or a possibility of eye tears coming through one's mouth, and it'll be in a somewhat roundabout proof, but that will be the point. And hence, if the basis of nose mucus and its tumah is because of the mixed in saliva, couldn't the same thing be said about eye tearing? The Omar Rav. Here we have we'll see a machlokas between Rav and Levi regarding this issue of eye tears that will become apparent very shortly. Rav says, Haiman de boy de listeme le'ene, one who maybe is masochistic and wants to lose his eyesight, allow himself to be treated with kochol. Kochol was a type of eye ointment or an eye potion that was added, that was applied to one's eyes, and allow an idol worshipper to do the treatment for you. The Levi Omar, and before going on, we have to point out that the Oved Kochavim, the idol worshipper, is suspect of foul play, so if a person wants to lose his eyesight, that's what he can do. He can ask an idol worshipper to apply the Kochol ointment. The Levi Omar, Hai man deboy the lemus likol me Oved Kochavim, one who wants to die, so allow himself to be treated by the idol worshipper with the Kochol application. The Omar of Chio Bar Guria, my time of the Rav, the Lo Omar. What is the reason for Rav that did not say Hai Man de Boy the Lemus? Why is there, as far as Rav's perception of things, why is there no fear of death? So the answer to that is Hoyo Viyachul Guron Ulahitzion Derechape, because somehow a person can draw the eye, the tears through his head and into his mouth, and spit it out. So whatever life-threatening material there was, as far as Levi is concerned, according to Rav, it can come out. He can save himself from the death possibility. But as far as the blinding is concerned, that will have taken place as soon as the ointment reached his eye. But as far as the death possibility, you can see that Rav holds, he has a way around it through spitting it out. So the point of interest for us is, according to Rav, eye tears can end up coming through one's mouth, drawn out through one's mouth. So shouldn't the dimas eno of azav, because of the saliva droplet factor that Rav mentioned earlier in the context with nose mucus, apply equally to the dimas eno? The Gemara answers, V'Rav, nehi de ziharonofik, in this spitting out of the kochol that we mentioned, what happens is that the poison that the idol worshipper may have added, that does come out through his spitting out. Dima sagufa, but the tear material itself, lo nafik, that does not come out when he does this drawing action that was just described. So the tear itself doesn't come out through one's mouth. Toshma, we have a Tanaic source that will be quoted here to pose a question on Rabbi Yochanan's approach. The source begins, Tisha Mashkin HaZav Hein. There are 9 liquids that we associate with the Zav, and the following breakdown takes place regarding what their Tuma capacity is. Hazea V'Halecha Srucha V'Horei Tahorin Miklum. Sweat and Lecha Srucha. This is some type of Rashi gives a French word for it, so we'll leave it as it is in the French. And Rei, this is a loose form of defecation. That the loose defecation, even though it's liquidy, nevertheless it is totally tohor. Dimas Eino V'dam Magafoso V'cholav Lisha. The Dimas Eino is tear. Dam Magafoso is blood that comes through an injury, and Cholav Lisha is milk from a woman. Mitamen tumas mashkin revius. If you have a revius, which is a liquid quantity of these materials, so they are capable of being mitama. So that if they come from a person that's tome, they'll be mitama as mashkin temein. Aval zoivai roikoi umeme raglov, his zov material, and the material itself comes from a zav, and the saliva and the urine, mitamin tuma chamura, they will mitama people as well. That's in contrast with tumas mashkin, where mashkin tumeim do not mitama people. These could be mitama people. V'ilu mei ho'af lo katoni, mei ho'af, the nose mucus is not listed here. Bishlamo l'Rav lo katoni, as far as Rav is concerned, I understand why it's not taught here. The lo psiko lei lemisni, it's not something that is unqualified, it's not absolute. Zimnin d'osi derech hapeh, v'zimnin d'osi derech hachoitem. Sometimes it comes through the mouth, so as far as Rav is concerned, then it will be metama because of the saliva. However, sometimes it comes through the nose, and as such, Rav did not classify it as a ma'ayon, and in such a situation, it will not be metama. That's why it's not taught in this source. This source teaches things that are absolute, elo the Rabbi Yochanan lisni, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that considered the mei ho'af a ma'ayon, so why shouldn't it be listed as one of the things in this source that are mitama? The Gemara responds, v'lita'amech, according to you that are asking on Rabbi Yochanan, kicho v'niu mi kotoni, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Use it. Notice where the previous arrow appears higher up on the page. In that source, we were using a posuk to darshan kicho v'neo, that of a zav, the phlegm of a zav is mitama. Why aren't those substances mentioned in this source? Ela tona roik. This source teaches as number 8 roik. V'chol de'asi miribuya, and everything that is derived from the drosha concerning the saliva, as we saw in that source above. So, what is derived from roik from that pasuk? We derived kicho neo and mei ho'af. So hochanami, so too with regard to your kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, tona roiko, the source that we just read with the 9 substances in it mentions number 8 as roke, but that includes v'chol da'asa mi ribuya, everything that is derived from roke as well, which will include the mei ho'af. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of the double underlines. So these are going to highlight some of the different substances that were mentioned in the source of 9 mashkin, and point out details regarding each one of these substances. So we continue. The numberings, by the way, that you see are they correspond to the numbering in the source itself. So number 4 was Dimas Eino, tears. we said of a zav will metame if you have a revius quantity of it, and that's because they are called mashkin. It's viewed as a, for lack of better expression, a beverage, even though it's not something you would order over the counter in a saloon. Nevertheless, it's considered a mashke. What is the source for that? The pasuk says v'tashkemo b'dimoy sholish. The tashkemo has to do with something that one gives to drink, so that we see that dimas eno, demois, are classified as a drink. The dam magafoso, where do you see blood, in this case blood of an injury, being classified as a beverage? The pasuk says v'dam chalolim yishte. Cholol is a murdered victim. A murder victim. And it says the blood of the murder victim one drinks. Of course, one has to understand the pasuk on its own terms, but for our purposes, yishte is associated with dam halolim. Now, but we're not dealing with corpse blood over here. Nevertheless, mali katle kule mali katle palge. What difference does it make if you're talking about the entire person that was killed, or you talk about an injury, a bruise on the person, which is also like a local killing? If you using elementary biology, we'd say that the cells in that area were destroyed. So in if you see that an entire person who is killed, his blood is called a mashke, so too part of the person that's killed, so to speak, the bruise, the blood emanating from that, would be considered the same, a mashke. And cholov ho isha, dichtiv, where do we see that cholov is considered a mashke? Vatiftach es noid hacholov vatashkehu. So you see in this pasuk the word cholov is accompanied with vatashke, with drinking. The Gemara here asks about number 9 in the source, Meimei Raglov Minolon. From where do you know that the Mei Raglayim of a Zav are Metame Tumo Chamura? The Mei Raglayim is the urine. Desanya, Zoivoi, Tomei, Vizois. These are words that appear in the Pasuk. Lerabois Meimei Raglov. This vizos comes to include, in addition to the zov as material itself, the zov emission, the urine as well. Valo dinhu, wouldn't logic have led me to the conclusion that mei raglayim are tomei, and of course mei raglayim from a zav? Why do I need the posuk? Uma roik habo mimokum taro tomei. Roik is saliva, which comes from one's mouth, which the mouth is not a place from which tuma emanates, and yet the roke that comes from a zav is tome. Mei mei raglov haboim mimokoim tome. The mei raglayim come from the gender organ of a man, but from that gender organ we know there are other sources of tuma that come from there. For example, the zov itself comes from there. So the mei raglayim, which come from a mokom of tuma, certainly they will be tamei. If the rope, which comes from a place of tahara, is mitama, mei raglayim, which comes from a place of tuma, certainly will be mitama. We find ourselves at the top of daf nun vav. So the Gemara says, well, if that be the case, the Brice is arguing, why do I need a pasuk to tell me about the tuma of the mei raglayim of azav when logic would have led me to that? The Gemara says, forget the logic, we reject that. Dam hayotze mipi ho'amo yochiach. If, let us say, a man has a blood emission that comes through his male gender organ, that is not tome. Dam hayotze mipi ho'amo, that's what we just described, yochiach, will prove to the contrary. Shebomi mokom tome, it comes from a place of tuma, v'tahor, and yet that blood is tahor. Afata al titameh, so to don't be amazed, al ze, regarding the mei raglayim, shafal pi shebo mimokom tuma, yator. That even though it comes from a place of tuma, the male organ, nevertheless, it could very well be tahor. The blood being the precedent. Talmud Lomar, Zovo, Tome, Vizos. Hence, we come back to the pasuk that we cited earlier, L'rabois Meimei Raglov L'tuma. This includes the Mei Raglayim, not only the Zov material itself, but the Mei Raglayim as well, as being a source of Tuma when it comes from the Zav. The next piece of Gemara that Emir Hashem will deal with in our next shiur focuses on the what we said in this discussion about the dam hayotze mipil amo, the blood that comes from a male organ, the blood that flows forth from that, in fact, is tor, which, by the way, is in stark contrast to the case of a woman that experiences a blood flow from that equivalent area of her body. So the Gemara will be asking, where do I know about its the dam hayotze mipil amo as being tor? So Mirza Shem, that will be dealt with in our next year. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.